read verse 8 because I've seen for sure some applications for that. Verse 8, now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. According to the grace of God which is given unto me, as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide which he hath built thereon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for this day. I thank you for your word. Thank you for those that are here this morning. I pray for a special blessing for them. I pray, God, that the message would be clear. You would help me as the speaker, Lord, to speak plainly and simply. And Lord, allow the Holy Spirit and the Word of God to speak for itself this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Minor details. I want to tell you where this message sparked from. And we've been doing our study on Revelations. And last Saturday, not this Saturday, but the Saturday before that, this verse was read. And it says in chapter 19 of Revelation, verse 7, let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife had made herself ready. Now, it doesn't take a lot of discerning to understand that that's most likely the church. Okay? And the question was bounced around about who's part of the bride, who's this, that, and the other. Well, that question we may not be able to answer real clearly as far as who is all included in the bride. But this one thing I do know, that we at Bradley's Pleasure, we have the articles of faith and the doctrines that we see in the Scriptures that Jesus taught and that the apostles taught in the book of Acts and in the epistles that Paul wrote. And as best as we can, we're following those, and we are attempting to be the church that Jesus Christ wants us to be. And you, if you're a member here and you've been a baptized member, or maybe you come from a scriptural church and you joined by letter, you have joined, you have covenanted with this church to do the work of God. And we're together. If you're part of this church. Now, if you're not baptized, member of this church, or come by a letter, you're not yet covenanted with us. You've not yet joined in with us. You can come and worship with us. That's all good, but as we read it in the Scripture, there is scriptural baptism. There is a church that is as a body together, and you should be part of the church. I don't see anybody in the New Testament, after the church is established by Jesus on the shores of Galilee, that worked by themselves as a lone ranger without the church. I just don't. Now, there are agencies out in the world. I got to get all this out there. There are agencies out in the world that are not churches that do a good work for God, and that's great, and that's possible. And I'm not saying that cannot happen. But if you read in Acts chapter 2, you see the church empowered by the Holy Spirit. There's no other entity that God empowers in the Scriptures but the church. Now, the Holy Spirit indwells believers, and we can do different works outside of the church. But as an entity, as an organism, this church and other churches of like faith and order, we believe, are empowered by the Holy Spirit. Now, long story short, what makes up the church? The members. There are many members. We're all diverse. We're all different. We're not teaching on that this morning because the question that ended up, or the discussion we had ended up, well, we don't know what the church needs to do to get ready. And that comes back to the individuals. It comes back to the pastor. That comes back for the deacons. That comes back to the moms, the dads, the sons, daughters, everybody that's in that group. It's not just the preachers. If it was up to the preacher, you should pay more and get you a better preacher so that he could do a better work. The church is not the preacher. Do you hear me? The church is the pastor and the deacons and the members all working in unity and concert together. I mean, can a pastor pull a church with him, or can a church pull a pastor with him? No, they need to be working together. And there are ways of looking at this. And like I said, I want you to set aside the part about the church, and we're going to look this morning at the individual. And if you're a member of a church, remember you're part of us, and you're either helping us, hindering us, or you're just kind of hovering in neutral. You're not doing anything. Okay? So with that being said, I want to get into the message this morning. Look at the first words in verse 9. It says, "For we are laborers together with Rick Stump." Everyone say this, Brother Bill? It says, we are what? We are laborers together with God. You are working with God. Now, what kind of employee are you of God? Do you get in contact with God every morning and say, "Hey, God, what's my task today?" Or, "Yeah, boss, you told me to do this yesterday, but I didn't do it. But look, can we just be friends and get along today?" You see the correlation, right? I mean, Jody drives a tractor trailer, right? Now, if you went in to drive your tractor trailer, they got it loaded, and they say, "Okay, your load's ready," and Jody says, I got you, man." And he just stays in the break room, and a couple hours later, they come out and say, "Hey, man, when you going?" "Oh, I got it, man. I'm good." And he goes back to the break room. How long is it going to take them to get another driver? Probably not 2 hours, but anyway. How long is it going to take them to get another driver and send it off and go, "Could you go to the hospital so we can check your mental capacity, because you have taken that truck every day faithfully to work and deliver the goods." See, God, we're working in this thing together. And it may run over and over, but we are what? We are workers. We are laborers together with God. And it says, "Ye are God's husbandry, and ye are God's building." Now, there's three things I see in these first couple of verses, or maybe three verses, that I want to bring to you. Now, let's remember the fact that, do you think that Bradley's Pleasure could probably serve better its master, its God? Do you think that the church could do better? We could probably do better, right? We could probably be a better servant. If you want to put it in the employee a mindset, could we be a better employee for God? Could we show up more enthusiastic and more ready to do the job and be instant when God asks us to do something and go do it without questioning, without, you know, wanting to ask why? See, I've been in position of boss a little bit at Tomacan and at UPS. When I had an employee that was completely trained, knew how to do everything, Robin, that I would ask them to do, and I go up and say, "Hey, I need you to go do this." I did not want to hear, I didn't want to hear that. I mean, they may not like the job I was going to give them. They may not even be good at it. They may like the job and may be really good at it, but it really didn't matter what they told me. Now, I mean, I wouldn't jump on it, but I'm like, just go ahead and do it, man. Just go do it. And then if I had to ask somebody else, there'd be a black mark on that employee, right? I think what we got in American churches, we got a lot of people that God has knocked on their heart's door and said, hey, I got something I'd like for you to do. And it's like, you know what? And then they give whatever excuse, whatever reason. And maybe next week they don't even show up to church because what? They're scared that the Holy Spirit is going to speak to them and try to push them into something. God is not going to push you into anything. Do you hear me? Now what I see here in these first two or three verses is a spiritual work. We're working together. We are, as Hillary Clinton would say, it does take a village to operate a church. You say, I don't like that verbiage. Well, I'm just here to tell you, it takes different moms and dads. It takes different grandparents and different people to work a youth program. They're not all going to be blood mothers and fathers and grandparents, okay? So a village, it's going to take different people. It shouldn't take the same people. We should have new people come in and help, right? You people that work with the KFC, you should have said amen real big right there. We need people, new people, to come in and help us every now and then, right? So the second thing I see here is we see a soul winner. Look with me in verse 10. Look with me in verse 10. It says, according to the grace of God. Look at what Paul says. Look at what he says, which is given unto me as a wise master builder. If you're going to make an impact on your children, it would not be smart for you to teach them every other skill but never tell them about salvation through Jesus Christ. Do you hear me? I don't care how good, how talented they are, whatever they do. If you neglect salvation, they're going to miss the one thing that they will always need and that will benefit them the most at the end of life. Are you listening? See, it scares the pastor. And my job is to be the... y'all seen people feed cattle, right? Right? You know, the truck, Brother Bill, you see, we got a field back behind our house. I don't know, maybe 6, 7 acres, 10 acres. It's probably about 10 acres. This guy's got some cattle out there, and we got introduced to his bull this week. But anyway, Brother Ronnie, when he pulls in the field, he don't have to holler very loud. He brought some corn the other day, and all he does is open it. I mean, they hear the truck, they look. You know how cattle are really obedient to nothing else but food. And they see it, and then he gets out and starts pulling corn. Well, they're, I don't know, how many hundreds of yards off, Brother Jody? What do? They're coming. And he better have it out of the truck before they get there, because he ain't going to be able to get it out of the truck. Now, he's got a big old bull that got into my corn this week. I got corn, Brother Bill, this far from the fence. The fence ain't real good behind my house, but he figured he'd get his head under the barbed wire and above the fencing and push over there, and he was taking that corn and just grabbed it and just pulled it through the fence and just eating it all. He got like a half a roll of my corn. We're talking a 2,000, 2,500-pound bull. So what's that got to do with anything? That bull needs to eat to do the job. If you're gonna do the job, you're going to have to feed your spirit. And here's one thing that will do it as much as anything, and this did it for me, and you say, boy, I wish you'd get to the point. When I first started desiring to get back in my relationship with God, the first thing that sparked my mind and my heart was the salvation of my two kids. And if you miss that, and then now I got a new burden. They both made professions of faith years ago. Now I got a new burden for them. Will they walk with Him? Will they be obedient to God's will? So I see a wise soul winner here that says, hey, I've laid the foundation. Okay, now the third thing I want to show you about this, and then we'll get to the main focus. Let's see the Savior's work. Look at verse 11. It says, for other foundations can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if you try to get your kids to be saved by acting better, doing better, getting baptized, they're going to go to hell. You hear me? They're going to go to hell. I'd rather have somebody blood washed and act like a crazy person and know they're going to heaven than to have a kid that always said yes sir, no ma'am, and never be convicted of their sins and never repenting of their sins and never knowing Jesus Christ as their Savior. I'd rather have both of them put together, okay? I know y'all are like, it's a weird observation there, Brother Rick. See, once you're saved, there should be a change. And the reason why I use that analogy is because you should take that person that is immoral and is a sinner, and as they get saved, they still have that sin nature, but they begin to progress, because the title of my message this morning is what? A spiritual building project. I want you to look at my focus for the message this morning. The end of verse 10. Here's where the conversation at Sunday school on Zoom a week ago Saturday. It says, but let every man take heed how he buildeth. Are you listening to me? Not one person listen to me. I'm already in trouble. See, you want to know why I get burdened? That's why. I told you last week I needed to speak more plain, more bluntly to our church, because our church is not responding, not to Rick, but to God's Word. And folks, we're going to get in trouble. You don't always have to go out and rob a bank and say, hey, I'm a bad person. No, if you don't do what God asked you to do, you're sinning. You're in disobedience. There are consequences to it. Do you understand me? Do you hear me? You children, you teenagers, listen to me real quick. I got to be real serious with you. At the age of 13, 14, and 15, I went the wrong direction. I went the wrong direction. And at 18 and 19, I've seen some of my friends get killed in car wrecks. I had a friend the other day that just overdosed. I had no influence over that. That could have been me. He had tried for the last... Now, like I said, I didn't have any contact with this guy, but he was a friend of mine back in those days. He tried multiple times this month to kill himself. He was a good kid at 12 and 13, 14. He went the wrong way. But it's not... Let me back up here and say this. It's not always The older group might get this, you younger guys will get it, but this may be a little blunt, but it's not always the sex, drugs, and rock and roll group that mess up. It can be the intellectual, I'm going to prosper in this world bunch that may be in as much apathy before God as anybody. My friend, Bubby Thompson, died in a car wreck. I have no clue whether he's going to heaven or not. He died about 40 years ago. And even when he died in the car wreck, Brother Bill, I didn't care. I mean, I was sad that he died in the car wreck. Don't get me wrong. But I didn't have any spiritual influence. Why? Because I hadn't started my spiritual building project. I had no burden. I had no Bible reading. I had no nothing. I said it last week. There's some of y'all may not even brought your Bible today. You may never even touch your Bible this week. You may never read your Bible this week. How do you expect God to speak to you? How do you expect God to ask you what you need to do? He ain't going to do it, I'm here to tell you. It will not happen. We're in a spiritual war, folks. We need spiritual warriors. You are going to have to take heed how you build upon that foundation. Are you listening to me? This is not a happily ever after. How can I succeed and prosper in this world? No! This is how much can I surrender and submit to God's will and grow and be that one that takes the sword of the Spirit and comes up to somebody and says, trust in the Lord with all that heart and lead not unto thy own understanding. Come up to that person and say, look, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth and believe in thy heart the Lord Jesus and believe in thy heart that God has raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Would you like to get saved? Are we doing that? Are we witnessing to people? See, my first point this morning is we are responsible for our works. See, you just like you had a free will to choose Jesus Christ as your Savior, listen to me. You have a free will to grow in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. You have just as much God in you, just as much Spirit in you as you want. Do you hear me? You can't blame anybody for not being spiritual. You can't blame anybody for not wanting a burden. You can't blame anybody for not having answered prayers. Because the God I know gives a burden. And He'll set you on the path of that burden. You accept that cross. He'll lead you to people that need to get saved. Boy, I wished at 16 and 17, Brother Bill, I'd lived my life differently, but I didn't. But I can't look back to that, Robin. I mean, I listened to music. I did things that were not good. But I can't look back to that no more. You know why? Jesus said, no man's fit that looketh back. You can't plow the field forward if you're looking back. Why? Your road's going to get crooked. You're not going to plow towards heaven. You're not going to plow in eternal things. You're responsible for your growth. Now think about this. The last two points are short. Look at my focus here. Let every man take heed how he buildeth. That word take heed, the word heed, means to look at, behold, beware, perceive, regard. It's up to you to do some personal accounting of your life this morning. We can have all the youth programs and do all the handy-dandy stuff. That's why you see this new charismatic church stuff and people that are going for the contemporary style. What do they end up with? They end up with a preacher in jeans, a preacher in short sleeve shirts, and there's nothing wrong with that. But all they're doing is trying to make people more comfortable to come in to what? Feel better about themselves so they can go to hell a lot easier. Say, Rick, what are you saying? Hey, the more you water down the worship, the more you water down the doctrine. The more you water down the doctrine, the more you water down the opportunity for somebody having true Holy Spirit conviction and coming to the Savior for salvation. And we in America, folks, we're living more for our earthly retirement. We're living more for our earthly pleasures. We're living more for our earthly lusts than we have ever before in this United States, and we're missing God. We're missing the spiritual opportunity to grow on the supplies that He's already given us. You got to take an account of your life. I can tell you about it, but that's not going to help you. You're going to have to get on your hands and knees and say, God, where do I stand with this thing? Next thing, I want you to know the building, the word building there, says to build upon or to rear up. If you're saved this morning, you have the foundation of Jesus Christ. I was going to save this question for last, but maybe I should go ahead and ask this question. How many of y'all live in a house or an apartment or a trailer? Now hold them up there. Some of y'all are going to try to get out of this illustration. We got some people that ain't living in nothing. Brother Bill's not living in nothing. We see some back. Who lives in a structure? It's got a house and a roof and a wall. That means hold them up high. In your spiritual life, you can put them down. In your spiritual life, I want you to think about what kind of building you're living in. Now, you can stand on Jesus You're going to heaven. I get that part. Okay, but now I want you to picture your house. Let's picture Terry's house. And I'm not picking on Terry, but just picture that house. If you looked over there and all you seen at Terry's house was the foundation. That's all he had. Foundation. It didn't even have no block walls. I don't know whether he got poured walls or block walls, but probably block walls. But anyway, there's no block walls. There's no nothing. All he's got is foundation. Is Terry going to live there? Y'all can answer wrong. We could be using Rick's house. It wouldn't matter. Is Terry going to live there with just the foundation? He's not going to, is he? He would want to put some concrete walls up so he could put some floors in, right? And when he got that floor in, he'd want to put some framing in or some walls. Now, I'm not a builder, so I'm going to get this out of order, but just I want you to think of the process. We put the electric, the plumbing, and all that stuff in. We put the insulation. We put the drywall. We put the brick on the outside. We put the roof on it. We put all that stuff. What kind of spiritual life are we living? Do we have the block walls? Do we have the framing where we can meet with God? I mean, if it rains in our life, do we have to put an umbrella up to save us? Or do we have the relationship to where we've experienced God in such a way that we can go to that one spot in our life and go, okay, Lord, we've been through this before. We've got a new situation coming. Would you help me? Is there anything built to it? Is there anything attached to it this morning? Second point this morning. The revelation of our work. Now, if you'll look quick, I'll talk quick, okay? I don't know whether I spent too much time on that first point, but it's the most important one. We'll read it, and I'll give you a few things. It says, now, if any man build upon this foundation, there's your free will, gold, silver, precious stone, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be what? Made manifest. What's that word mean? Revealed, right? And it goes on to say, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be what, class? Revealed. By fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. That word sort means what kind or what type it is. And if any man's work abide, which he hath built thereon, we'll stop right there. I know y'all read on to that. I get a reward, don't I? Huh? We just got a new cat at our house a few weeks ago. And the cat that we had before that, Robin, in my study, in my top drawer, always kept a little bag of treats. And Brother Bill, when my other cat, Link, I would pull that drawer open, he would come in and see. But if you heard the crinkle of that little bag, Brother Ronnie, he's all in. Okay? Now this new little cat didn't know this at the start. But you know what he's learned in a very short period of time? He ain't learned to open another drawer, Brother Mike, but he's learned the crinkle of the treat bag. He's all in. I want you all to know that the blessing that you receive from God is His desire to bless you in your life. Now, it's not going to be $1,000 in the bank. It's not going to be that kind of thing. But you know what? As I've told you, when I was at Mount Hebron, I was the vacation Bible school director, and I didn't even realize how good that was until I was getting ready to give that task up. But when I looked at all those kids, Robin, walking through that night that they were practicing, I knew that I was not going to do it the next year. God had already said, you're done. You're moving on to something else. And as I sat over there and everybody was happy, 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 practicing for the last program, I can't even think what it's called now, I was over there crying in the pew because I knew that I wouldn't get to see them kids no more. See, I think that's a reward. See, I think that's a good thing. I think it's still a good thing when I can go to Danville Walmart. So it's got to be somewhere close. And one of them little kids that I don't even recognize anymore comes up and goes, hey, Strawberry, I miss you so much. I think that's a reward. I think that that little kid that prayed for a cat the first year they come to BBS and then the third year accepted Jesus Christ and I get to see them, I think that's a blessing. But that's not to glorify myself. That's to glorify the work that me and God are doing together. But those are things that when we get to heaven, God is going to just open up the floodgates and say, see. See? But now there's some of you all that are going to be standing just on that thing, because my second point again this morning is a revelation of our works. Look at the last verse. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. That's all you're going to have left. Now, I believe in security of the believer. I believe once saved, always saved. I believe the Bible teaches it. I'm not scared at all to sin, as Adrian Rogers would say. I can sin as much. I think maybe it's Charles Stanley that said that. I can sin as much as I want to. Preacher, I just don't want to. I mean, I end up sinning from time to time. I'm not saying I'm sinless, because I'm not. But you hear me and hear me well. There's no sin after I've been born again that can cast me back into that unsaved state. But there's a building project that God's got in your life. This is not a drill. This is, life is a real deal. You get to learn through your experiences, through your mistakes, through your things. Think about one person. Think about Peter. Did Peter learn from his life's mistakes? Of course he did. He stuck his foot in his mouth numerous times. We looked at it a couple of weeks ago where he told the Lord, he said, now you're not going to suffer on the cross, Lord. Don't you worry about it. We got this covered. And Jesus said, get thou behind me, Satan. So I think Peter was being bold and taken up for the Lord. And then all of a sudden, Jesus had put Peter in his place. Hey, look, you just listen to me and obey me. I love this world too much not to suffer for their sins. You get that? Do you love the world enough to suffer for someone else getting salvation? Think about Abraham. Now let me draw this down to where the conversation is. A lot of people think that they don't know what they need to do to be prepared or how to grow in their relationship with the Lord. Well, if you haven't figured that out, I would be praying this morning to see what God wants me to do. Okay? Now, some of y'all are teachers. Some of y'all have jobs at different places. The first day that you went into that job or that task, or what you might have had to go to school to get trained for it, did you know everything that you know today? Huh? I mean, think about it. When I was a kid, I was raised in the grocery store. I seen my dad take quarters of beef, put them up on that block, and cut them in pieces. Hundreds of times, Paul. From the age of 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, till I got about 13 or 14, you say, okay, son, it's your turn. Now, you would think, after watching him, Tanya, that many times, that I wouldn't even have to even ask him a question. I stood right there by him and watched him do it. I got this, Dad, I don't need you. No, I had to ask him questions. Because there were some places there, especially that hindquarter, he'd reach up there and he was hunting for a bone. He was over there getting an angle so they could cut it at the correct angle. Because if you cut it over at this angle, you wasted all the sirloin steaks. You didn't get the rump roast, and you cut it cross grain, and it was all going to be tough. Is that important? See, you can observe Christian life all you want to. And until you get out there like Abraham. See, God asked Abraham to go somewhere, right? What if Abraham had done, like I was giving the illustration earlier, what if he just stayed in Ur? We may have a lot of Christians this morning still in error. Just saying, you may still be there. God's saying, hey, I need you to go. I'm going. I'm obedient. How many of y'all like being obedient? Three people, four people. Now that preachers said it that way, maybe. How many of y'all like being disobedient? Let me ask you another question. I don't know. I don't know whether to ask this question or not, because if you don't know whether you should be obedient or disobedient, do you think there's a consequence of being disobedient to God? See, Abraham had a building project in his life. God asked him to go, and he went. Abraham built altars, right? Abraham built altars. He talked to God. He heard promises from God. He produced a seed of spirituality to God in Isaac, right? And then he offered that same seed of promise there on Mount Moriah as a sacrifice. You think he grew any in his spiritual life, Brother Bill? When he was willing to take that knife and raise it on that son of his that God said he's going to give him. I'm going to make you a father of many. And he raised that knife, and there's no doubt in my mind that he was getting ready to take that thing and slit his throat. You can read in Hebrews where it says that Abraham believed that even if he killed Isaac, and I'm giving you the stump commentary, even if he killed Isaac, he's going to bring him back to life. See, it didn't make sense, Jody, for him to tie that child up and to sacrifice him, because God didn't do human sacrifices. He was trying. He was testing. He was seeing if Abraham would obey him. Think about how much Abraham had grown. I'll ask you the question, what would you give to God this morning? Would you give yourself a living sacrifice, as it says in Romans 12? When the preacher says that right off the bat, do you have reservation as to whether you would even say yes? But I would say to you this morning, just as the preacher should, we should be praying forgiveness, even if we have that attitude. Did you hear me? Our works will be revealed. Look at me again there. He says, because it shall be revealed in verse 13, let there be no secret this morning. You teenagers, you older people, when you stand before God, there will be nothing that will not be revealed. Does that bring about conviction for anybody? There's going to be nothing that you have done, been asked to do by God. None of that's going to be hush, hush. It's not going to be a Washington, D.C. thing where you don't know the truth. The truth is going to be clear, and your stuff is going to be laid right out there on the table before you and God, and you're going to have to somehow give an account for that. You said, now, Rick, you believe in sinless perfection. No, I don't. I done told you that. But God wants us to grow. There is a spiritual growth. Why do I know that? Because several places here, it tells me that we are to be laborers together. It tells us that we are to build thereon. And it tells us about a foundation. He gives us all the way through here and down. In verse 14, if any man's work abide, which he has what? Built thereon, he shall receive a reward. Last point this morning, there is a reward for our works. I'm not worthy of it, but you know what? Just as I was when a kid, I'd like to get a trophy for coming in first or second or whatever it was. When I stand before my Savior, I like for Him to at least look at me and say, hey, look, here's your ribbon. Well done, my good and faithful servant. But now, just like I said, it's going to be revealed. There's not going to be any participation trophies in heaven. Now, some of y'all kept up. You know, when my first son played T-ball, we kept score. If we beat them 15-1, they got beat 15-1. Our second kid, they did not keep score. My second son didn't know whether they won or lost the game. He was not happy or mad. I'm sure glad they didn't do that to my first one. He would have kept score, Robin, even if they didn't keep score, because he wanted to win. I want to ask you this morning, do you want to win in your spiritual life? Wouldn't you like to have a beautiful spiritual house that had nice brick, nice roof, nice landscaping, and even the grass, even the grass is mowed and got those little stripes in it, right? When God pulls down your street, you look at it and goes, that's a good-looking house. When He looks at your life today, what does He say? Better get to work on that. You teenagers, spiritual life starts as a baby. And you grow. There's no participation. Now, look, you can't lose your salvation. I've already stressed that. But I want to just remind you this morning, Bradley's Pleasure Baptist Church, and if you're here and you're saved, God wants you to grow. Could you agree with me on that? That last point, Cole. If you could put that up there for me. Appreciate Cole working. Now, he's going to put my last point because I want to tell you that there are some building supplies for us. There you go, building supplies. We're done in about 3 or 4 or 5 minutes. 10, 15. Did you know that you had building supplies for your spiritual life? I'm going to give you the three, what I would call, main ones this morning, and then we're going to close. Building supplies. You have three main building supplies this morning if you're going to be growing in the Lord. And the first one is faith. You say, Rick, you should have used the Word of God. Well, I want you to think about this. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So, to grow your faith, you need to read the Bible. That is an essential step of obedience. That is an essential step of growth. Can you do things outside of the Bible and be in obedience with God? You can. But if you want persistent growth and you want your faith to be increased, it's going to come through that Bible. You say, how do you know that? I shouldn't even have to explain that to people. I mean, I've dealt with people that were addicts, alcoholics. The only way that they ever grew is when they stuck to the Word of God and kept reading it and studying it until they what? Could put their faith and trust in God. That's the way it worked for Rick. Now, apart from my salvation, folks, that old red King James Thompson Chain Reference Bible that I read, you think I'm crazy, but when I look at that, I look at where I cut my baby teeth in Christianity, and I was some 30 years old or so when I did that. And there's some scribbles and some marks in there that make totally no sense. I mean, totally no sense. But there's some of those marks and those scratches that make my heart just break because the closeness that I have with God today. And it's up to you. I keep stressing this over and over and over again, but there are going to be people that hear this message, have a Bible, and they ain't going to touch it until next time, if they even touch it then. Amen, preacher. Your second building block. Remember, we're talking about building supplies. You're not going to see it up there, okay? I didn't give him that part. It'll be a spoiler. Your walk of sanctification. That big word sanctification, let me just shorten it for you. Set apart or set aside. What God wants you to do is set your life aside for His service. You can still work your same job. Don't panic. He's not going to leave you unemployed. I've never seen anybody that's worked for the Lord been unemployed. There may be some of them out there, Brother Mike. I don't know. But I'm here to tell you that you setting your sight, say, okay, Lord, I'm willing to do what you want me to do. He's not told you yet what He's asked you to do. He's not even gotten close to it. Because why? You're just now building your faith. You just now got the first supply in. You're just starting to intake that, and you're just starting to get there. But if you're not willing to set yourself aside for God's service and say, okay, Lord, when I understand from the Spirit of God and the Word of God and all this stuff, I'll be really ready, willing, and able. And you know, you've heard my story. I told God for a long time, Brandy, that I would do whatever He'd asked me to do. That's what I'm going to do. But you've heard my story. I really didn't mean it when I said it. But I kept reading. I kept taking my first building supply and I kept reading this Word of God and kept increasing my faith and kept listening to the preaching and teaching of the Word of God. So that sanctification, that relationship, that discipleship, that learning. You know, you'll notice I haven't mentioned anything about church attendance, memorizing verses, tithing, or any of that stuff. I haven't mentioned any of that stuff. Third thing this morning, you got your faith walk, your sanctification walk, and your spiritual walk. Could have said the Holy Spirit walk, but it didn't sound right. Okay? Because you get that faith, you get the Word of God, along with the meditation and a lot of other things that goes with that. And you set yourself aside and say, okay. Here's another way of looking at sanctification. Know that God has a purpose for your life. Know that God wants you. He says that we're holy, right? That kind of means set apart too. There's not one person in there that's saved that God doesn't have a specific use for with a particular use or maybe through the course of their life. And it can change. So don't get that. Like, it's got to be one thing. It doesn't. It can be a lifetime of service, and it will be. But here's where the spirit walk comes in. You got the faith, Brother Mike, and you got the set aside, and you got the Holy Spirit. Set in a church service. Preacher's preaching it out. He's preaching about something way over here. And I'm giving you my experience. He's preaching about something way over here, something good. He's preaching good, and it's like an amen service. You're like, amen, preacher. And the Holy Spirit is telling me that I need to teach a Sunday school class. And that guy ain't preaching nothing about no Sunday school class, Brother Bill. You say, what do you call that? I call that a spiritual walk. I call that the Holy Spirit of God, Brother Paul. Speaking to me at that point about something that preacher wasn't saying anything about. But the Holy Spirit has brought about robbing conviction upon me about my personal life, that the faith that I had started to grow in my life, and me saying, hey, I'm willing. And then He said, okay, if you'll put your faith in me and you know that I have a purpose, I'm showing you something now I want you to do. And I can tell you something right now. I would really be a happy guy if I was still teaching them 10, 11, 12-year-old kids in that Sunday school class, Miss Norma. I would be a really happy guy because I love that class so much. And I know what some of y'all are thinking right now. Do you not like what you're doing now? Oh, I love it. But there's one thing that God continually needs to put that Holy Spirit on me. It's the people that I come in contact with. See, there's been a few, I'm not going to call them stories because there probably ain't that much stories, but there's been a few rumors that something's wrong with Brother Rick. Brother Rick's in trouble. Brother Rick needs prayer. Let me tell you something. I don't need the prayer. I love that you are praying for me, but let me tell you this straight up. My burden and my heart is for this church, for the people of this church. And God has put it on my heart that I don't want any of you all to stand before God and God say, hey, I want you to stand up there and say, here it is, Lord. This is what I've done for you as best I could. I don't want you to have an excuse. I don't want you to have a reason. I brought this message to you this morning because I want to let you know that there is a spiritual building project that God has for you that I can't do. But I don't want you to stand before God empty-handed with just the foundation. I want you to receive the blessing of seeing souls saved and seeing your life changed and transformed to where, hey, it was something I really didn't desire before, but now I'd rather do that than anything. Let's all stand. Father, I thank you for this day. I thank you for your word. Lord, as I think about this message, I guess maybe quite emotional, but I can't help that part. And it's not any particular one person. But the jobs and the tasks that you've given me is to love the people that I share the Word of God with. There may be somebody here that's not saved. I pray they'll get saved first. They'll get on that foundation, that rock. But God, I pray for our church. For 7 or 8 years, I have prayed for and desired to see growth. Well, I pray for continued growth. Pray for continual to see people to put their faith in God and set themselves aside for your service. And then when the Spirit brings that conviction, that they will be obedient to the call. I thank you and praise you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.